You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Well, hello again. So, if you've got a Bible or you've got the Bible on your phone, you might want to turn with me to a difficult book to find in the Bible. It's Titus. It's a very little book. It's near the back in the New Testament. But it's near the back of the New Testament as well. The way I find it is it's kind of with the T's. So I think, oh, okay, so I know it's near 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and then you've got the little book of Titus, and then you've got another little book, Philemon, and then Hebrews. So whilst you're looking for that, because I know it's a little bit fiddly to find, I just want to say well done. Well done. Well done to you as Jubilee Church Farnham. I'm so sorry that we weren't able to be with you last week for the 20th kind of birthday party. We were thinking of you very much, but I just think, well done, 20 years. I just think, what a fantastic kind of milestone, really. And you won't know this, but I'm going to tell you this. So often in commission, the family of churches that we are a part of, Jubilee Church Farnham is kind of held up as a really good example of how to do church really well, but also how to plant a church from a church. Because, of course, not only are we celebrating Jubilee Church Farnham, but also Hope Church Aldershot and the kind of sister congregation in Borden as well. And so you've done so well growing this church, planting this church, 20 years of faithfulness, and also planting out. I know that was kind of some cost to you, wasn't it? Kind of sending some of your best people and your friends to Aldershot, and you kind of feel that, don't you? Probably last week when you saw them, you're like kind of happy and sad at the same time. It's like, oh, it's so great. Oh, I haven't missed them. I haven't seen them for ages. It's so nice to see them again. So well done. Well done for 20 years. And you will have found Titus by now, won't you? So I'm going to read a familiar kind of passage. Just before I do that, I just want to tell you about two books that I've just found really helpful. If you haven't read these, I just want to recommend two books. The first one is John Mark Comer, Live No Lies. So almost anything, well, anything by John Mark Comer is worth reading. And this is his latest book, which is just kind of really, really helpful. In fact, I'm reading it the second time because I thought, ooh, I think I need to read that again, which is unusual for me to read a book a second time. But I have read this one more than twice now. I've got my underlinings in it. This is Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. Mike Pilavachi said of this book, it was the best book he'd ever read. So I thought, if Mike Pilavachi says it's the best book he's ever read, I thought, yeah, I better read that. And I can see why he says it's the best book I've ever read. So if you don't read any other book this year, and with Christmas coming up, this is a good time to buy each other books. Isn't it really? So you can buy some. You'll buy this for, put it on your Christmas list, or put it on your wish list, or give it to somebody else for Christmas. It's real, really bless them. So here we go. Titus, chapter 1. So I'm going to read from verse 1 because that puts it in context for us, and then I'm going to read down to verse 9. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So that's why I said earlier on, we're not making this up. We're not just kind of going through some kind of ritual that Sean thought might be a good thing to do on a Sunday morning in September. We're trying to do and trying to follow what the Bible says. So I think it was in October 2019, wasn't it, Nathan, that we prayed for you, and we were here, and we together prayed for Nathan and his family as an elder then. So here we are again in this very, very important moment in history for this church. And I just want to say this as well. What we've just read, you see in Sean, don't you? That's why he leads this church. That's why he is an elder. What we've just read is Sean, isn't it? You could read that through again, and if it was in a list, you would tick all those things, wouldn't you? You would go through that list and say, yep, Sean, yep, Sean, yep, Sean, yep, Sean, yep, Sean, yep. And you would do the same with Rick as well, wouldn't you? You would, that's why they're elders of this church. You'd do the same with Nathan. You would go through that list and say, yep, that's Nathan, yep, that's Rick, yep, that's Sean, yep. And now you can do that with Neil as well. You can say, yep, you say, yep, that, yep, 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 10 out of 10, gold star, give him a lollipop. Yes. And one of the reasons that this church is so successful and is continuing to flourish, let's be honest, is because of Sean. Amen. It's because of what Sean has done for 20 years. For 20 years. It doesn't seem that long ago, Sean, does it? There was 14 of us in your house around the corner, and we were just trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? There's 14, you still think that. how are we going to do this? So there was Sean, there was a little group here, you probably know the story. There was some from here, there was some from Odeon, there was some from Camberley, there was some from Woking. That was a little group. We thought, okay, so as churches, how are we going to do this then? How are we going to plant a church in Farnham? And Sean and I went around to the other church leaders in Farnham, because I thought that was really important to say to them, look, we're thinking of planting a New Frontiers church in Farnham. You know, what do you think about that? You know, it's important for us to know what you think about that. And they were so encouraging, weren't they? Sure, they were so encouraging. And they all said, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, come and join us. And so I'm delighted to see the kind of still the fruit of that in terms of what Sean showed us earlier in terms of the mission in November. You just think that's wonderful, because one of the great things about Sean and the team here as well, they're not just kind of building some igloo apart from everything else. They know that they're part of the kingdom of God here in Farnham. I want to build the kingdom of God, bless the church in Farnham. And that's really important, isn't it? I can remember also, incidentally, so it's 20 years ago this week, wasn't it, that we had a team to help us launch the church. Andy LaRue came over, a number of other people came over, and I just feel like I walked a lot that week. I mean, we just walked and walked, and we had so many conversations, we leafleted, we did stuff in the town centre, we met every day, didn't we, at the Waden Christian Centre, which at that point, as you probably know, was owned by another church. And as we were praying one morning, Andy LaRue said, I just feel in God, God is going to give you this building. And I was like, don't say that. I was like, Andy, you can't say that. It belongs to another church. No, God's going to give you this building. And I'm like, don't. Get. And here we are. You know, it's the favor of God, the blessing of God upon you, and also an illustration of the generosity of those who went before, wasn't it? It was just such a beautiful, beautiful gesture of the goodness of God and of the kingdom of God. Because one of the great successes of this church is Sean and what we've just read, but it's also Sean and his ability to raise up leaders, because he's not possessive about his leadership, is he? You know that. You see that all around you. Sean is great at spotting the potential in other people and pulling it out and drawing it out, isn't he? And he knows he needs team around him. And so the success of this church is partly because of Sean and what we've just read, and we can tick that list if you like, but also in terms of his releasing of others into leadership, that generous heart that he has to release others, and the way that he and Haley model what the slide said earlier in terms of servant leadership, isn't it? If ever there was a servant leader, it's Sean, isn't it? It's Sean. So he's literally phoning me in the week saying, just checking you're okay. Have you got any slides? Can you send the slides to me? And then last night he sends me an email saying, oh, just to let you know, I changed your slides a bit. And then this morning he says, oh, I think I'll just change another one. You know, so in the middle, the meeting's just about to start. And what is Sean doing? He's serving me and serving us by just changing my slides a little bit. So, and then he says to me, with 10 minutes to go, he says, is there anything else I can do for you? Any other way I can help you? Anything else you need? I just thought, that's the servant leader that you have in Sean, isn't it? So I said to him, actually, I could really do with a cup of tea and a pan of chocolate. And he said, that's a challenge. How can I do that in 10 minutes? But that's the kind of leader he is, isn't he? And for you as a church, you can see that in Rick and Linda, you can see that in Nathan and Chrissy, you can see it in Neil and Leslie as well. These are leaders who serve, don't they? And one of the reasons that this church is a success is because it's that Sean has inculcated a culture of servant leadership, hasn't he? You can see that in the team, you can see that in your leaders. Yesterday in the newspaper, I was just so upset. National newspapers, to read about a church and a particular leader of this church. I don't recommend that you read it. It's just so awful. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? That would not happen here. That would not happen in this church because of what we've just read in Titus and because of what we already see and know about Sean and Haley and the rest of the team here. The safety of having an eldership team like this means that what was making national press yesterday, I just know, would not happen here. Praise God. So I do have a couple of slides that Sean helped me with. So I just want to go through these slides just to help us in terms of, because for some of you, eldership will be very familiar. For some of you, this might be new. You might be new to the church. You might be looking in. You might be visiting, thinking, So let's just go through some practical things in terms of, do I do this myself? I think it'd be better if you did. You see, this is the servant leader at work. Okay. So just to kind of go through what we've just read and just to kind of put it in a bit of a context. So here the Apostle Paul has said, appoint elders in every town. I just really like this picture of Farnham, actually. I just thought, gosh, that's a great picture. I'm very familiar with driving to Sean and Haley's house, driving to Wade and Christian's house, and driving here. But I thought, gosh, that's such a nice view. Such a nice view of where you live, isn't it? So that's why this morning's important. This is what we're doing. We're appointing elders in this church because that's what the Bible says, appoint elders. So that's what we're doing with Neil this morning. Thank you, Sean. And in terms of what we've just read too, can you just do that? Who are the elders? So we did, so I introduced them earlier on. So it's just great. So this is what the team kind of looks like, a growing team. And we've got, so you've met Sean and Haley, you met Rick and Lindy, you met Nathan and Chrissy, you all know who Neil and Leslie are, so you know who they are now. And then this next picture, I just thought, just kind of helped me, this one here. For those of you who don't know, Neil is a fantastic cyclist, you probably knew that, as is his brother, actually, isn't he? It's like a dynasty of cyclists. I'm not sure Cara's a cyclist, really. Did you know that this is Neil's sister? Did you know that? This is Cara. Just stand up a moment, Cara. She really wanted me to do that. And she'll speak to me later and tell me how much she enjoyed that moment. And so the reason I like this picture is because thinking about Neil and thinking, because he's a good cyclist and he's familiar with this kind of imagery, but this just helps us to think about how eldership works. Because although it's clear, I think that's Chris, is that Chris Froome, Neil? Is that Chris Froome? It looks like it might be Chris Froome. So it's an out of date because he doesn't ride for this team anymore, does he? But I like this because it's clear he's got the yellow jersey, but he's clearly in a team. And I love that kind of imagery when we're thinking about eldership because it kind of helps me. So although Sean, if you like, has got the yellow jersey, you know, he's clearly the leader, he needs to be in a team. He needs to be in a team. And sometimes it's almost as if the team work really close together, the team is fluid, and often the yellow jersey isn't at the very front. Sometimes the yellow jersey is at the front, sometimes it's being streamlined or helped, or even sometimes carried along by the others. So sometimes it might appear that Rick's kind of in the lead of the pack, if you like. Sometimes it might be Nathan's taking a lead on something, sometimes Neil is going to take the lead on something, but they're very much a team. And it's also really clear that Sean's still got the yellow jersey. And I just find that just helps me when I'm thinking about how an eldership team functions. And then, Sean, if we can go on to the next slide. So then in terms of what do elders do? Because people often kind of ask me this kind of question, what do elders do? Now, so the way I kind of think about it is this. I just kind of simplify it into these things. Thanks, Sean, for the next slide. Oh, the reason I put this in, because I just thought it was really interesting reading his story of Virgin. I didn't know this, but his whole Virgin Empire is governed by elders. And I just thought, I didn't know that. So in Richard Branson's book, he has a chapter on eldership. So I'll let you find that out for yourself and what he says about elders. Really interesting. Thank you, Sean. And so in terms of what they do, so I think about it like this in terms of direction, doctrine, and discipling. So these are some of the things that elders do in terms of thinking about the direction of the church, thinking about what the church believes, the teachings of the church, and discipling, how the church is making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's really, really key. So I know that other people will come up with other things. So even yesterday I was reading about, you know, another church you talk about gathering and governing and gospeling. And I thought, okay. So I realize there are other things that other churches might do in terms of how they explain what an elder's role is. But for me, it just kind of helps me again in just putting it in context. Thank you, Sean. So then in terms of what are the qualifications for eldership. So what's really interesting to me is when we read that list, of course, it doesn't say they have to be magnificent preachers. That's just interesting, isn't it? They have to be great worship leaders. They have to be really, really funny. You know, when they're on their feet, they just have to just have that kind of charisma. Of course, it doesn't say any of that, does it? It's just so interesting. Because the qualifications, I think there's another slide here, isn't there, Sean? So the qualifications. Is there another slide? Yeah. I love the fact that it talks about the character of the man, doesn't it? And talks about how well they lead their family and about their children. And of course, Sean and Haley are a great example of that, aren't they? Not only have they led this family, in terms of the church family, brilliantly, but they've led their own family brilliantly, aren't they? I mean, they've led their family so well that my daughter is married to one of their sons. I mean, that's how well, you know, they've led their family. So I'm very grateful. I'm personally grateful for just the brilliant way in which they've led their family. You just kind of look at the Gubb family and you just think, they're just so lovely, aren't they? They're just so. You look at those boys and you think, they are so lovely. They are just like their mother. They're just lovely, godly boys, aren't they? So we know that in Sean, there isn't a disconnect between his personal life and his home life and leading the church. We know that, don't we? He's a godly leader at home. He's a godly, humble leader in the life of the church as well. And that's why when Sean phoned me to chat about Neil, you know, I said, well, you know, would you like to see Neil? I said, well, actually, No, I'd like to be with the whole family, you know, and have an evening with the whole family. I want to know what Leslie thinks. I want to know what his children think. I want to know, you know, are they okay with this? And so we had, you know, Leslie cooked us a lovely meal, as she did, but I wanted to ask the children, are you okay with this? Are you all right? Are you all right with Dad being an elder? And how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this, Leslie? Now, to be honest with you, that meeting in other contexts hasn't always gone well. Honestly, it hasn't always gone well. It wasn't that long ago. I was just another church, similar thing. The leader of the church phoned me and said, we'd like to appoint this guy. He's a fantastic guy. He was really gifted guy. He was. So I said, yeah, we'd, you know, love to have an evening with them. Beverly and I went around to have an evening with them. So we sat down for a meal. I said, I just want to check you're okay, you know, with what's going on here and with your husband being an elder. And she said, no, not really. I said, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, it's his thing, you know, really. And then she said, yeah, I'm really not sure about God. I was like, what? She says, yeah, I've got, you know, kind of struggles with God and the church. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, this really isn't good. This really isn't good. So I had to phone the pastor and say, I'm really sorry. It's a no from me. It's definitely not a golden buzzer. This really, really isn't good. And it's kind of challenging, isn't it? It's kind of challenging. But in Sean, and in Neil, and in Ricky, and in Nathan, we've got godly men with godly families, haven't we? And so it was really important for me that Leslie was fully with Neil, that Erin and Lauren and Reuben as well. I mean, to be honest with you, Reuben and I probably spent more time talking about his basketball, but that's fine. I'm happy to talk about Stephen Curry as well and his three-pointers. But it was important to me, this is part of the family, part of Neil's family, because it seems to me that's the main qualification for being an elder is your family, and so that's why we did what we did earlier on. And then I think there's one other slide, isn't there, Sean? So one of the other things that I just find really helpful. So this is important for you as a church. So I'd like you to look at this for me in terms of what do elders do, because sometimes we can overlook this. So if you turn with me to James chapter 5. Now, James, you find by going on a bit further, so you've got Hebrews, and then you've got the book of James. That's how I find it. I think, oh yeah, Hebrews, James. And then in James chapter 5, there's this very helpful, so it's kind of near the end. It's almost the end of the book. And I just want to read this paragraph to you from James 5, 13 to 16. Is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil, and in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is faithful and effective. Because what I don't want us to do, I don't want to do it, and I don't want you to do it either. I don't want you to just think the elders are in meetings and the elders govern the church. That is what they do. And the elders shepherd the flock, which is what they do. Oh, Mark said the elders, oh yes, it's direction and doctrine and discipling, which it is. There's also this, praying for the sick to be healed. And that's a really important part of being an elder, and one we mustn't forget. So you, as members of the church, can read that and say, actually, yeah, I do. Yeah, I want that. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I want that. I want, yeah, I do. I need the elder. I want the elders to pray for me. It might be a physical thing. It might be an emotional thing, because dis-ease can be physical, dis-ease can be emotional, dis-ease can be a mental thing. It doesn't matter what it is. You can ask the elders to pray for you, and we've just read the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. So I'm expecting in Jubilee Church Farnham, I'm expecting the church to grow. I'm expecting to hear of more leaders being released. I'm expecting to hear this place being full to capacity, and then Sean and Rick and Nathan and Neil having to think, oh, what are we going to do now? We've filled Wade in school. I'm expecting all those things to happen, but I'm also expecting to hear, oh, you never guess what, Mike. You never guess what God did. We saw somebody healed of this. We had a miracle of this. We've had several people healed of that. Because that's also the role of an elder, to pray for people and anoint people with oil. So you must feel free. In fact, there's a biblical call, a biblical injunction on us. You must feel free to call on the elders of the church to pray for you. In fact, we're going to do that. We're going to do that in just a minute. I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask the elders to pray for you and to anoint you with oil. Tom, can you get my little oil jar down on the floor there that I brought with me? When I was praying about this morning and thinking about this morning, do you know what? I thought, God, I don't just want to talk about, you know, eldership. I don't just want this to be a boring Mark talk about eldership. You know, that's important that we talk about eldership and we set it in context. That's important. I want you to come and do some things. You to come and bless some people. You to come and heal some people. So in just a moment, Sean is going to lead us in communion. But as part of that, too, the elders are available for you to ask them to pray for you. So literally, what's going to happen in just a moment, Sean will lead us in communion, and then the eldership team are going to stand here, okay? Tom will give me my little jar of oil, and if you are sick, whatever it is, you can come and respond to that passage of Scripture this morning and ask them to pray for you. Whatever it is you're feeling, whatever it is you're struggling with, I do not want you to leave this morning carrying a burden, carrying a pain, without having an opportunity for Jesus to touch you and for Jesus to come upon you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know something is. I don't know what Jesus is going to do when you say, yeah, please will you pray for me. I don't know what's going to happen. I know something is. I know Jesus is going to do something when you come forward. So in just a minute, you'll see, because there'll be quite a number of people, you know, so I want you to kind of make a line here, because there'll be quite a number of people who's going to say, actually, yeah, I do. I really want the elders to pray for me. I do. And so there's going to be quite a lot of people, and that's okay. We're going to take our time, and we're going to pray for every one of you. So like I say, when I say, I'm going to hand over to Sean in just a minute. He's going to lead us through communion and praying for people at the same time. So I know it'll look a little bit kind of holy untidy, but that's okay too. We can cope with that, can't we? Because Jesus is going to do some stuff. And then, so Chrissy's not here. No, she's out, isn't she? But we have got Rick, and we've got Lindy, we've got Beverly, we've got Neil, and we've got Leslie, and I'm guessing that Haley is out as well. So all of you, I'd like you to come and join me in just a minute, okay, when Sean says. So, Sean, over to you at this point.
Perhaps Catherine could come up as well, just... We're going to do that. We're going to break bread and pray for each other, so... I think I'm just going to move this over here a little bit. Thanks, Mark, for just doing that. It's all true. Makes me squirm a little bit when you refer to me so much, but I accept it. And just want to say that really what Jubilee... Yeah, as we were saying last week, Jubilee isn't a church out there somewhere. Jubilee is the people. So you are Jubilee. And amongst us, we have so many leaders who are servant-hearted and who who serve us in so many different ways. And this Sunday, my heart was to sort of say thank you, really, to all the leaders in the church. It's the elders are one group, but there's trustees, there's group leaders, there's all sorts of other people who lead in different ways. And without all of us leading, Jubilee wouldn't be what it is. And so thank you all. Thank you all for being such good leaders, just of yourselves as well. Everybody's a leader in the room. Even if you're not got responsibility for other people, you've got responsibility for yourself to lead yourself, haven't you? And so thank you all for being such wonderful people as you take on leadership. Thank you for wonderful people to lead. But we follow after Jesus, don't we? It's a people and a person. Jesus is our example. And I just was sort of struck by this morning. Jesus called them together and said, you know that there are those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles and how they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what we remember just in this moment of breaking bread, isn't it? That Jesus, the King of Kings, came as a servant to serve us and to lay his life down as an example for us. And so I want us to come and break bread in the good of that. Just coming, saying, Lord, thank you for your death. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you, though, for showing us a different way, not lording it over, not about power and control, but about service and love and engaging with people. And so I want us to come in the good of that as we break bread. So I'm going to encourage you, as Catherine leads us in a song now, just to come up, take one of these COVID capsules that I call them now. But they're symbolic, aren't they? It's not real bread or real wine or anything like it, but it symbolizes the bread and the wine, and it symbolizes how Jesus served his people and how that is a model for us. Whether we're a group leader, we serve the kids, whether we're putting the chairs out, we are following Jesus as we do that. Whether we are leading worship, whether we're preaching, whether we're doing the admin, whatever we're doing, we're following his way of service, aren't we? And that's what we remember. Jesus says, remember this as you take it. And so I want us to do that. And if you want to be prayed for, go to that side, as Mark says. But we're going to break bread and pray for people now. Is that all right? So let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that wonderful example of serving. Thank you that you gave an utterly different way of leading. Thank you that you showed a different way of leading, that you came and washed feet. You served. You didn't come to be served, but you came to serve. Forgive us when we want to be served. Lord, help us to be people who rise up with a different attitude to wanting to serve our community, serve one another. And as we take this bread and wine, as we remember your blood and your body that was broken for us, we thank you that we enter into a new covenant, a new way of being, a new kingdom that is so different from the kingdom of this world, which is about power and control. And we ask you to help us to be more loving, having more serving hearts, and Lord Jesus, and the results the world would know the King of Kings. And so we come and thank you and ask Lord Jesus that you would heal souls, heal bodies, heal minds this morning as well. So we come to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Catherine's going to lead us, and let's come and grab some bread and wine. If you want to be prayed for, go there. If you don't want to be prayed for, you just want to spend some time with God, go back to your chair and worship. But let's just do this and be expectant that God is going to meet with people now. Thank you.